Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Father, I ask you to give me what you want me to speak today. Help us to pursue you. Help us to hear you. Help us to see you in our daily lives. Help us to represent you. Help us to know you. Not just say we know you, but know you intimately. Help us not to be afraid to be quiet in your presence. You said in Lamentations chapter 3 that it's good for us to silently wait on the Lord. We've done that this morning. We appreciate your presence. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. I want to read that again from the New Living Translation. So now the Lord says, stop right where you are. Look for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path. And you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. I completely, fully prepared two messages yesterday, and neither was the message that I had planned to preach today. I sought the Lord, and I felt a burning on this scripture, and I prepared this message, and I finished it. And I was excited that I got done early in the day. And something wasn't quite right. Maybe the Lord wanted to speak to me some more. So I went into some more study, and the Lord gave me another message. And it's the one I thought I was going to preach this morning. And, you know, I do a picture, and we have the scripture up there. I have all that, but I'm bypassing that again this morning. The series that I plan to preach is about our senses and how they naturally are mirrored in the spiritually. The Lord wants you to hear him. He wants you to see him. He wants you to feel him. It's not about feeling. He wants you to feel him. All these different things. We'll talk about that. I don't know when. In a few weeks, maybe a few months. But I want to be very sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. I'll just be very honest with you. I want to talk to you for a few minutes, and I want to just be very honest with you. I did not feel that it was possible for me to function today. I have such a burden for you folks and for this nation that I am so burdened. I'm not trying to tell you this to make you feel sorry for me. I don't want that. That's not what I'm looking for. I want you to know, I know some of you are feeling the same way. Your heart's breaking for what you're seeing. But I have been so heavy, so broken inside for what's going on. It's actually been there's been some other things that I've been feeling this for more than a week, more than 2 weeks probably, but for the last week it has been almost all that I could carry. And I say that because as I'm carrying all this, I'm reminded a week ago, maybe three, four, five days at least ago, I was reminded that I've asked the Lord for many, many years to let me feel what he feels. You know, the songs we sing, that there's two of them that we sing that says, Lord, break our heart for what breaks yours. I made that my prayer 10 or 15 years ago. This morning, I asked the Lord, would you please lift some of this? Because I can't carry what you can carry. And it's just too much for me. I love you, church. And I love this nation. And what we talked about last week, only God can save America. It's only God. And it's only, the only hope for America, church, is you. You said only God can save America. Only God can save America. But he said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. I saw some hunger this morning. I saw some desperation this morning. And I appreciate that. I appreciate you allowing that to be seen. I appreciate you pursuing God, not worrying so much what somebody might think about it. I appreciate that. I think we come to church and we have to act like we have it all together. We have to act like, oh, you know, I'm a servant of the Lord, servant of the Most High God. I'm blessed the best. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the lender, not the borrower. And these things are true. But we don't have to feel that way every day. The truth is that we can come to a place that's hard. We can go through difficulties. We can cry out when we're in trouble. And the psalmist, and I believe it was David, he cried out and said, my bones are being crushed. I hurt. I ache from the morning. I feel as though I'm going to be killed because of the hurt, this weight that's on me. And it's okay to experience that. But I want you to know that God has not forsaken. He's not left us. And the hope that we have is in Him. And if there's ever to be a revival, as I talked about last week, it's only found in Him. And when we get serious and we stop trying to put on a facade, a mask, and we get serious and we just cry out to God, I don't want to look weak in front of you. I don't want to look weak. I don't want to come up here and cry like a baby every Sunday morning. But I want you to understand that I don't have it all together. I'm trusting God, and I know He has it all together. And I fully hope in Him. And I'm not worried about the future because God has it. But my heart breaks. My heart breaks. My heart broke even before all of this that has happened this week. My heart's been broken for a long time. Our nation is in terrible shape. But the nation is in terrible shape because the church is in terrible shape. And my heart breaks for the church. And I'm telling you this because I love you and I want you to understand where we are. And this church is not exempt. We are no better than all the other churches that are God-fearing churches. We are a long way from where God wants us to be. Let me say that I love you and that I believe in you. And I believe that this is one of the best churches in Mansfield area. I believe that. I believe it or I wouldn't be here. But God wants more for us. He wants more for us. I think you're great. I just think you're great. But God wants more. God's not pleased with half-hearted service or worship. He's God. He deserves wholehearted worship. I know everybody doesn't worship the same, and I'm not trying to get you to worship the same. But we have to go after God with our whole heart. That's when we'll find Him. Until we go after Him wholeheartedly, we won't find Him. This scripture, Jeremiah 6:16, says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. Stand you in the ways. The ways. Not the way. The ways. So there are lots of ways. It's basically what I think it's saying there is stand at the crossroads. Stand at the crossroads or stand in the ways. And when we're seeing that picture, when we're standing in the ways, there's one that go one way. There's one intersection, one road that goes this way, and then there's an intersection of another road that goes a different way. Stand in the ways and see. Ask the Lord for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. And you shall find rest for your souls. How many of you want rest for your soul? How many of you need rest for your soul? We need rest for our souls. The only place that's found is in the old godly way, in the new Living Translation says it that way, the old godly way. And maybe it's New American Standard. It says the old godly way. That's the only way there's rest for our souls. But the people, as Jeremiah spoke this, the people said, but we will not walk therein. I think that the Lord is saying to His church, stand in the ways and see. And ask for the old godly ways and walk therein. I believe that's what the Lord is saying today. What I want to preach to you this morning is that to go forward, maybe we need to go back, okay? I want to clarify this, and I wrote paragraphs here. I don't know that I'll read all this, but I wrote paragraphs here to help you understand what I'm not saying so you can understand what I am saying. What is the old way? Some of us might think that the old way refers to our tradition or our denominational background, and that's not at all what God is saying, because these denominations did not exist at that time. It's not about where I came from and what I learned and what I did, or how we acted in a service or how we didn't act in a service. It's not about whether we had music or whether we didn't have music. It's not about whether we lifted our hands or didn't lift our hands, or whether we clapped our hands or didn't clap our hands. It's not about whether we allowed the move of the Spirit, that there was speaking in tongues in the church, or whether there was not speaking in tongues in the church. And that might be hard for some of us to hear, but it's not about that. We're not talking about what our denominational background represents. And I believe that we need to allow the move of God. But that's not going back to the old ways. It's not about our denominational or our traditional history. It's not about our beliefs or our customs. It's about what does the Word say. It's about what does the Spirit of God say. As I considered this, I thought about what are traditions. Traditions are just customs. They're just actions that become customs that are passed down. Some traditions are great. They're really good. Some traditions are not so great. But it's not the tradition. It's not traditions that constitute the old ways, the old godly way. Some might think differently. Some might think that it has to do with our style of music. Well, if we went back to hymns, and I'm not opposed to hymns. Hymns serve a great purpose in the body of Christ, in the music of the body of Christ. And they certainly have a place, but that's not the old ways. The oldest hymns that we ever sing when we sing hymns, they're pretty old. But they're only around 200 years old. And I want you to understand, very few of them are older than that. But if we look at how long Christianity has been in existence, we're talking about 2,000 years. But Jeremiah spoke this about 600 years before that, if I'm not mistaken. So around 2,600 years ago, he was saying, go back to the old way. So we're not talking about hymns. We're not talking about doing away with technology. Lots of people try that. The Amish, for instance. This is not what God's looking for. It's not necessarily that we have to do away with technology. It's not that we don't need the screens on the wall. We don't need them, but it's not wrong for us to have them. I remember back in the early 90s, late 80s perhaps, I believe it was early 90s, this was looked at with disdain. They've taken out the songbooks and they've put the words up on the wall. One of my favorite groups from many years ago, the Hensons, they sang a song about it and were against it. But it's not that we shouldn't move forward with the times or even use technology, because technology can be a tool that can reach the masses. I don't know if Periscope is still on. I didn't turn it off, didn't have anybody turn it off. But right now, we're preaching the gospel in every part of the world if anyone wants to tune in. Sometimes we have as many as 150 people who join us on a Sunday morning when we broadcast live through my phone. So there's nothing wrong with technology. And it's not that the Lord is saying here that we need to go back to the times before technology, because this was far before any of the modern conveniences were ever made. This reminds me of a story, and I won't spend much time here, but I depend a lot on technology. And a few years ago, we still talk about it, but a few years ago, we were, I believe, on a trip. And we always take an inverter, and I plug my computer in. My battery's not very good. I plug my computer in, and Tracy will drive when we're on a trip, and I'll study the Word of God very often when we're on a long trip. And sometimes I'm preparing for the Sunday that's following, whatever. But one year, best of my memory, this is how it went. I didn't have the inverter with us, and my computer was dead, and I was stressing. What am I going to do? Lindsay, I believe, was it you, Lindsay, said, why don't you do it the old-fashioned way? With your Bible. And that rings true, and I understand that. I understand that thought, and how many of us could say, we're getting off track because of this or because of that, and I understand, but with technology, I have access to hundreds of volumes of commentaries, but also to the original languages and to hundreds of different translations. So I can read the Bible and maybe not catch the fullness because our English language is not quite as descriptive as the Hebrew or as the Greek. And I can read and see what the original language is, and it just opens up the world to my understanding. So I don't believe that there's anything wrong with the technology, but what we are doing is that we are not following the old ways when we're talking about spiritual things. Nothing wrong with technology, nothing wrong with the newer music, the praise and worship, nothing wrong with denominations, our different backgrounds, except when they keep us from the old way. It's not that they are something we need to necessarily get rid of, but we need to go back to the old way and walk therein. Some would think maybe that doing things the old way would mean go back to the traditions of the early church in the first century, which were very much Jewish in their style. I don't believe that's it either. Some would say we should be honoring the Sabbath on Saturday rather than coming together on Sunday. But if you follow the pattern of the early church, they did meet together on Sunday. So there's nothing wrong with that. We do need to give the Lord a day. Do need to honor him with our time. We need to stop working so much and just spend time with God. Stop everything and honor him. He needs to be honored every day, but we need that day to concentrate on God. And I personally don't believe that it matters if it's Saturday or Sunday for you. We meet on Sunday. But what is the old way? What are the old paths? What is the old godly way? As I was reading, I did some study on Jeremiah, and from my understanding, and I'm not well versed in this, but from my understanding, Jeremiah was called into ministry in the 13th year of Josiah. Anybody remember Josiah, King Josiah? He was a very God-fearing young man when he became king. He became a God-fearing young man. His father and his father's father, for several generations, they had ungodly kings. And Josiah became the king of Judah. And he turned the nation back. If you'll recall the story, he found the writings of the law in the archives of the temple. And he pulled them out, and he saw how far Judah had slipped from where they were supposed to be, and he called for repentance, and he called the nation to turn back to God. And that one young man basically began a revival that turned Judah back to God. But the thing is here, it was temporary. It was fleeting. It didn't last long enough. How many of you know that God doesn't want us to do just a short-term repentance to stop the direction we're going, and then after we've got everything going a little bit smoother, then forget and go back to our old ways? And so the people that followed him were ungodly, but during the 13th year of Josiah's reign, the way I read it, Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. I love the story of Jeremiah. I identify with Jeremiah. Because at times, as you know, as I'm talking about, my heart breaks for the church and it breaks for the world around me. Because I know God has so much more than we're experiencing. Jeremiah began to speak to a nation that was returning to its apostasy. And he told them to turn back from their rebellion or face the judgment of God. And that judgment of God was the looming invasion of Babylon. It was about to happen. And they were getting ready to be carried off into captivity and didn't even know it. And so he stands up and he speaks and he says, stop right where you are. Or as the King James Version says it, stand in the ways and see. Stop right where you are. Look for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. We've been thinking about this, thinking about what the Lord is saying. He's saying, stop where you're at or stand in the way. Don't go any further. You're going on the wrong path. You're headed down the wrong road. How long has God been saying that to America? How long has God been saying that to the church? Been saying it for a long time. Stop. Don't go any further. Seek the old godly way. Seek the old godly way. The way that pleases God. The way that is right. Not the way that just seems right. Because the word says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. So, get on the right road. You're at a place of intersection. You're at a crossroads. Get on the right road. Then he says, walk in it, talking about the old godly way. What does it mean for us to walk in the old godly way? I believe with all my heart that it means for us to be obedient to our God. To walk in the old godly way. You remember the old song that just came to my mind? I was singing it yesterday. I'm in the way, the bright, the shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is near and the way groweth clear, I believe is what it said. I'm in the glory land way. We need to walk in the way. Walk in it with obedience. Walk in it with humility. Walk in it with hope. Walk in it with integrity. Walk in it after the steps of Jesus Christ. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. We need rest for our souls. My soul has been refreshed this morning. But I need more refreshing. I need more of His refreshing. We will find rest for our souls. But He says, you reply, no, that's not the road we want. Lord, help us never to reply, that's not the road we want. I have a couple scriptures I want to share with you. What is the primary way that we know the will of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God for our lives? What is the primary way? The Word of God. So I want us to turn to the Word of God to see what would help us to find the old godly way, because the old godly way is not our tradition, it's not our customs, it's not our denominational backgrounds, it's not our style of music, it's not even whether or not we use technology. That's not how you get to the old godly way, but I think we can find it very easily in the Word of God. Psalm 17, 4 through 9 says, concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, speaking of the Lord, by the word of your lips have I kept away from the paths of the destroyer. So what keeps us from the wrong path or the path of the destroyer? The word. The word of the Lord's lips. The word that was spoken that became flesh. The word that's also written, the written word of God. So we're talking about not only the flesh, the word of God, Jesus Christ in the flesh, but also the written word of God. These things have been given to us. Jesus Christ was given to us to redeem us, and this word has been given to us as an example to show us and to teach us the ways of God. So the word here says, concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, and I will hear, and you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who have saved those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. Notice the very first part. We can identify with some of that. We go through these struggles and trials and hardships, but we know the Lord is on our side. He's with us. And if we look at this, he says that I have kept my paths from the destroyer by the words of your lips. And then it goes on to say, uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. First and foremost, we need the word of God if we are to walk uprightly before God. I believe it was also David who said, I have hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need the word hidden in our heart. We don't just need it sitting on a shelf. We don't just need it put in the side pocket of the car. I've got one I carry with me everywhere I go. But it don't just need to be there. It needs to be in my heart. It needs to be in my mind. It needs to be in my mouth continually. The word will tell us and teach us the old godly way. John chapter 14, verse 16. You don't have to turn there, but I'll tell you. Jesus announced of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said, I am the way. There is no other way to God. There is no other godly way. In the past, they were looking forward, trying to wait for a Messiah who was to come. And that search, that wait began even as early as the fall of man. So they were looking forward, even in Jeremiah's time, they were looking forward to the coming of a Savior, and his name was Jesus Christ. And we now look backward at it, and we see it from a different perspective. But I'm here to tell you that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. He is the way. There is no other. So the old way, the old godly way is really the way of repentance. So it's a way of, what's repentance? It's turning your back on sin and turning toward God. So it's leaving behind the junk, the stuff. And it's turning toward God. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, the word of God says that they were told that if they were willing and obedient, they would eat of the fat of the land. God is looking for some people who would be obedient. God's mercies endure forever. They're new every morning. And as we read this morning from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it's because of his mercies that we are not consumed. So thank God that he's merciful on us. If it were not for the mercies of God, he would not have allowed us to live this long. We'd have been destroyed long ago. But the mercies of God upon the people of God especially, but upon the world, are great, and his mercies endure forever. We would be consumed. But if we want the blessing of God, if we want the healing of our nation, if we want our churches to thrive once more, we need to turn back to God. We need to repent of what we have been and where we have been and what we have allowed ourselves to come to. And we need to turn to a holy God, and we need to say, I'll follow you, Lord. It's not about my path anymore. I want to walk the old godly way. When I preach a message that calls us, and I'm speaking, it's primarily us that I'm talking to. Periscope's joined us this morning, and the podcast will go out to the internet, and it'll be available where people can hear these messages. But it's primarily us that I'm speaking to. It's you and myself that the Lord has allowed me to prepare this message for. And when I preach a message like this, I think, especially after I leave here, I think, will they think that I'm condemning them? Will they think that I don't have confidence in them? Will they think that I think that they are full of pride, that they are arrogant, that they walk in sin, that they are... It's not about that. And I want you to know that right now. That's not my thought. That's not my heart here. My heart is that God is looking for a people who are hungry for Him. He's looking for a people who are willing to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And God is speaking to us right now. I believe it. Through the last few messages we've had, God has been speaking to us. And we, Abundant Life Tabernacle, and you who are watching on Periscope, and you who are listening on the podcast, He is asking of us if we would go after Him wholeheartedly. Will we choose the old godly way? Will we be willing to lay aside the things that so easily beset us and go after Him with diligence and with humility? Will we do what Jesus said? Will we go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Will we go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in? Will we speak for righteousness? Will we stand for truth? Will we be the people that God has called us to be? Or will we be silent and I'm preaching to me as much as I am to you? This past week has been a difficult week, but God is in control. I don't believe it's too late for revival in America. I don't believe it's too late for the church to turn back to God. But it is time. That's right, Dean. It can happen, but it takes people who will get serious about God. And that's what I'm asking this morning. Will we go after Him? Will we pursue Him? Or will we not? Do we want revival? Or do we want judgment? That's what I preached last week. Different title. Maybe than that, but that's what I preached last week. Do we want revival or we want judgment? I want revival. I want to see my loved ones saved. I want to see your loved ones saved. I want to see your kids, grandkids, so on fire for God that they're making national news like what's happening in West Virginia. I want to see your kids so on fire for God that you can't hardly get to the altars because the kids are beating you out of a place. And if you don't get up and start moving, then your kids are going to get all the spots. I want to see that. I want to see those who maybe have been serving the Lord for 50 years. I want to see fire come back into their eyes. I want to see them alive again with the joy of the Holy Ghost. I want to see them not just be able to sit here and say, well, God was a good God back in 1942. I want to hear them say, my God is still alive today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me tell you what He did 50 years ago, but let me tell you what He did right now. Just a few moments ago, my God did this. My God did that. I'm telling you, God has not changed, people. We need to go back to that old godly way. I'm talking about obedience. I'm talking about holiness. I'm talking about righteousness. I'm not talking about pretension or a facade. And I appreciate those of you who are in the house of the Lord this morning, and I even appreciate those of you who maybe are here out of a commitment or out of a habit. But God wants more than that. God wants more of us. He wants everything. But the good news is He's willing to give us everything. He already has. When I preach this message this morning, as I'm preaching this message right now, I want you to understand this is a message of hope. That's what it is. You won't find any hope if you turn on CNN or even Fox. You won't find a lot of hope there. Probably none. You'll see lots of turmoil. You'll see lots of anguish. You'll see lots of sin. You'll see lots of desperation, but not desperation for God. You'll see racial interaction, but it's not good. You won't see love. I don't know this brother, but I'm glad he's here this morning. You'll see division. You'll see hardship. You'll see destitution. You'll see people that are hopeless. People that are helpless. People that are trapped in their sin and they believe that there's no way out. Talking about those who maybe are a part of the LGBT movement. And I love them and I believe that God wants to set them free just like He did me from my sins. But they're hopeless and they're helpless. And my point is this morning is that we have everything the world needs. We have the answer, and it's found in that old godly way. It's found when we open up the book and we get down on our knees and we talk to God and we pour out our hearts and we turn from our sins and we seek Him with our whole heart. That's the way to find the old godly way. And that's where it's found. That's where hope is. That's where hope is. It's found only in Jesus. It's found only in Jesus.